Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. It's Wellness Wednesday, so joining us will be Dr. Kathy Tynes. And to discuss World Stroke Day, we have the one and only Dr. Babak Jeromi. And do you love mac and cheese? Well, we have Melinda Joseph, who is one of the creators of the Mac and Cheese Fest, coming to Chicago. We also have the theater group from the House Theater's production of United Flight 232. With Soli Santos, Todd Belcour, and don't forget to get your calls in for Dr. Lars Dingman, happening at 1:15. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, Illinois. To keep you healthy, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
I don't know if I'm here to keep you healthy. I hope you're here to keep me healthy. That's what we're all trying to do here. Joining me, riding sidecar for the show tonight, is the executive director of Social Change. They have their Change Fest this weekend, their International Film Festival.
That's right. We can't wait. Harold Washington Cultural Center this weekend. Everyone be there. Award-winning actors, filmmakers, a lot of fun, and a festival experience all the way around.
I love that. Where do people get tickets for that?
Shy Social Change is our Twitter handle, Facebook handle, Instagram, or Chicago Social Change for our website.
Excellent. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about so many issues, you and I have talked about, you know, whether it's inmates and people who have been convicted of crimes, finding their rights. You know, I talk about a lot about social services. And what we try to do on Wednesday night is make sure that people have as much information as possible to take care of their own health. And right. We've been thrilled to have Dr. Kathy Tynes join us on Wednesdays. She's assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and the president-elect of Illinois State Medical Society. And she reached out to her colleagues at Northwestern and said, hey, you know, we would love to have some experts on our show. First of all, Dr. Kathy, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Who can say no to the president-elect, right?
I'm just saying. And by the way, I saw that there is legislation on the governor's desk that you were telling me about as far as when coverage ends with a provider in a particular doctor's office.
It got signed.
Congratulations.
Yes,
on that.
That was a big win for us, absolutely, and for all the people of Illinois.
And that's the thing, is that we want consistency in our care, the people who make us stay healthy, but we also need to be informed in what the different things that, you know, you hear about heart attacks or hear about cancer risks. And joining us to talk about World Stroke Day is Dr. Babak Jeromi. Thank you. Am I saying your name correctly, sir?
Absolutely. And it's a pleasure to be with you.
Appreciate that. And I don't want to not have your entire title. I'm sure it's in my stack, by the way. Michael always gives me all the information and I always go with like the first thing I see. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Doc.
Sure thing. I'm a cerebrovascular neurosurgeon with Northwestern Medicine, and I'm the surgical director of the Comprehensive Stroke Center down at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
And what we understand as being a stroke is we'll see, you know, a lot of PSAs saying recognize the signs. If someone's having trouble talking, if they're not able to move both sides of their mouths. I'm not sure how many mouths people are equipped with, but for myself.
Well, they definitely need a doctor if they have mouths.
Do they have mouths? Yes. I'm sure something has been diagnosed early. Tell us a little bit about, in the most, accessible way for folks, one, what causes a stroke? What are the things that lead to that?
Well, there's a significant number of risk factors that can lead to stroke, and some of which we don't really have any control over, such as our age, our family history, our ethnicity, or gender. For example, if one of our parents has had a stroke, our risk of stroke is going to be threefold higher.
Wait, threefold higher than your parents was?
Oh, no, just your parents.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I was trying to extrapolate that information.
But there's good news.
Yes.
More than 80% of stroke is probably preventable.
Okay.
So the key message I would give to your listeners, there are things they can do right now that can reduce the risk of stroke. The biggest bang for the buck is controlling high blood pressure.
Okay.
Other things along that list that are simple to look for and fix are quitting smoking, seeing if you've got a high cholesterol, diabetes, and treating it.
Right.
And working with your primary care physician or internist for other more specific risk factors like an abnormal heart rhythm or narrowed blood vessels to the brain that can cause stroke.
And do you find, both doctors, do you find that when someone finds out that they're a high risk for stroke, they ask you what kind of medication they can take rather than perhaps making a lifestyle change, right?
That's pretty common. Folks usually want a quick fix, and often it involves a lot of comprehensive care and lifestyle changes.
Dr. Tynes?
I would agree, absolutely. So, you know, sometimes these lifestyle changes can be a hard sell because people really have to change what they do day in and day out. And, you know, my job is to convince them how important it is and how to do it in, you know, maybe a an incremental way so that it's not such a drastic change for their life.
Right, but it takes a commitment too. And I think a lot of people don't become committed until they're scared. And sometimes that's too late.
Unfortunately, it can be. And it really comes as a surprise. A lot of my patients, their families can't believe this is happening to them. They think stroke is really rare, or it's just a disease of the elderly. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. A third of stroke happens in folks under 65. So if you think about it, that's your coworker at work sitting across the table.
Right.
Or they think stroke is rare. It's not every year. Almost 800,000 strokes occur, one every 40 seconds.
What?
That's 130,000 deaths a year, one in 20 deaths. So it's a big deal. And it's the number one preventable cause of disability. So today, there's 7 million Americans, victims of stroke, that are disabled. That's $33 billion a year of lost productivity and ongoing healthcare costs. It's not rare and not for the elderly.
No, and the thing is that, you know, there are moments. I know a friend of mine who suffered a stroke in her early 40s. And the rehabilitation, the time, and obviously there's a lot of commitment from her family to get her back on the road to recovery. What are some of the warning signs? What are the things that people should look out for? I mean, you've talked about whether it's your ethnicity or family history, but are there things that you might, are there any telltale signs before you even get to that moment of
I'm
distress?
Really glad you asked that question, and to our listeners, that's not a setup. More than a third of Americans don't know one of the single signs of stroke. So I'm going to take this moment. I want to ask all of your listeners to memorize this acronym, FAST. F-A-S-T. So F stands for facial droop.
Okay.
A stands for arm weakness. S stands for speech difficulty. And the T in FAST stands for time. Time is of the absolute essence. If you have any of these, a facial droop, arm weakness, speech difficulty, it's time to call 911 immediately. The faster you get to the hospital, the more brain we have to still save.
We have a lot of topics to talk about. We're talking to Dr. Jerome, I'm sorry, your name again?
Jerome.
Dr. Jerome about World Stroke Day, which is coming up on what day?
October 29th.
October 29th. When we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Tynes about flu vaccines and a lot of other, by the way, medicine disposal, which was the first topic you and I ever talked about on the show. So let's talk about that when we come back, because that was controversial with some of our listeners and also the Teal Pumpkin Project, which I thank you for that, by the way. We appreciate it.
Of course.
More after this. And Todd Belcourt is here as well. The Social Change of International Film Festival this weekend.
That's right.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the
Harold Washington Cultural Center.
Excellent. More in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Thank you.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the Executive Director of Social Change. Their International Film Festival is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. And people can go to the Social Change Facebook page, follow them on Twitter at Social Change.
Shy Social Change.
Shy, that's but not shy like you're embarrassed.
No, shy C-H-I. Like Chicago, that's
See,
right.
See, I say shy too, and then people make fun of me. I'm like, it's not chai. I'm not tea. That's Todd Belcourt joining us in the studio. Todd, have you gotten your flu shot yet?
I'm scared to admit it with the two doctors in my immediate right.
Joining us in studio are doctors Kathy Tynes and Dr. Babak Jerome. And Dr. Jerome, have you gotten your flu shot this year?
I'm actually getting it tomorrow.
Oh, you're getting it tomorrow. Do you do flu shot or do you do nasal spray?
Flu shot.
Dr. Tynes, there are people who are afraid to get their flu shots. I'm not saying there's anybody in the studio right now who has not gotten one since the last time they had a flu shot and they developed trouble breathing, severe vomiting, and a lot of things that happened afterwards. And so they're afraid, perhaps. What would you say to somebody who maybe had a bad experience with a flu shot?
Well, there are some people who truly do have an allergy to the flu shot and they should not get one again. But the vast majority of people who get the flu shot have really no side effects to them. Now, there are a lot of myths about the flu shot. A lot of people coincidentally might get a cold or some other type of viral illnesses because we do tend to give the flu shot during cold season.
Right.
So they associate the two and they think it made them sick. But the fact of the matter is that flu shots are not cannot possibly make you sick. Now, the flu mist, as we were talking about earlier, is first of all, it's no longer available, so you can't.
Oh, really?
Can't get the nasal spray. The last 2 years, I think they're re-examining the safety of it.
Okay.
So in the meantime, the shots are still available. There's even egg-free flu shots available for those who have an egg allergy, and everyone should get them.
Everyone. Because people have said before, like maybe the elderly, maybe somebody who's going to be around a lot of children.
Especially those people.
Especially those people, because, especially if they're going to be around a lot of children. Those are petri dishes. Well, those little kids.
Well, first of all, to protect the children. So, kids under five, especially those under the age of two, are especially susceptible to getting sicker when they get the flu. So, if you or I get the flu, we'll survive it. But there are people at both ends of the spectrum of age who may get the flu and end up in the hospital.
Okay.
There are people whose immune systems are compromised. Pregnant women should get a flu shot. So there are a lot of people around you who, would fare very poorly if they caught the flu from you. So part of the reason to get the flu shot isn't just to protect yourself, but to protect those around you. And that's called herd immunity.
Michael, have you gotten your flu shot this year?
Uh-oh, call-outs all the way around.
Oof.
I have not. By the way, full disclosure, I have not obviously gotten my flu shot either. So not from Michael. Todd, you said no?
It looks like at least 80% of us.
Esmeralda, have you gotten a flu shot recently?
I did a couple days ago.
There you go. So we are one for Rob Martier. Have you gotten your flu shot?
No flu shot for Robbie.
Ever?
Ever. Yes, I hear the collective eye rolling down the
street. It's been a few years since I've had it, Rob.
Thank you. Yes, I'm an advocate for the no flu shot movement. So, sorry about
that. What does that mean, an advocate for the no flu shot movement?
Every time I've gotten a flu shot, which was probably about 3 years ago, I ended up getting the flu.
That's not possible.
It's very possible.
No, it's not.
I was sick as a dog.
So what were your symptoms after the flu shot?
My symptoms?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't immediately after. I ended up getting the flu later on that season.
Oh.
But I did feel achy,
different.
My arm. I'm a big, burly, manly kind of man, but I was a wimp after I got the flu shot.
So that's different. So the flu shot's not 100% effective.
And well, there you go.
Well, so its effectiveness varies from year to year.
Okay.
So it's better than nothing. And again, coincidentally, people get the flu shot and they may get a different strain of the flu than what was covered. So you can't really blame the flu shot for that. And, we do the best that we can to try to predict which strains are going to come around by the time we have to manufacture the flu shot. So it's not 100%. It's not, exact science at this point. But
oh, no, I I'm not blaming healthcare professionals, and I'm not even blaming the flu shot. Just for me, I choose not to get it. But I would recommend that everyone else get it so I don't get the flu.
Oh, fair enough. I like that. I like the way he put that out there.
That's the herd immunity. You're letting the rest of the herd do all the hard work for you.
Absolutely.
How about the urban myth that you can knock it out with some whiskey? Is that not true?
Well, then in that case, I'm immune to the flu.
I think that's why we've both been pretty good last year, is Martier.
There you go.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we talked about, and we're going to go to a break in a moment, but one of the things that we talked about on our first episode together, Wellness Wednesday, Dr. Tynes, was the disposal of medications, in order to make sure that people in your family are not taking things that are perhaps dangerous for them, or if someone overusing pain medication. What did you want to say about medical prescription disposal?
So, there's another National Take Back Day, October 28th. And you can go to the Illinois State Medical Society website to get a list of locations where you can bring in, your dangerous medications, particularly opioids. But there are other medications in your your cabinet that can be harmful if someone inadvertently takes it, such as things like Valium, sedatives, things like that. So you can go to the ISMS.org/take-back, and that will get you to a list of all the take-back sites. And the rest of the year, many, if not all, police stations and fire stations will take back your medications as well.
Dr. Jerome, do you ever have that with patients who are like, what do I do with all my extra medication? People like really hoard it after a while, don't they? They've got it in their cabinets. Have you had like one patient where you're like, do you seriously have something from 1972? Have you run into that?
To be quite honest, it hasn't happened in my practice, but my colleagues have described it.
Really?
And, it's a challenge.
Why do you think that is, that your patients have not necessarily, is there a moment where a physician can really have I shouldn't even ask that. There must be a moment where physicians and their approach has a meaningful impact in a way that has people, reinforced behavior that's positive, right?
I'd say, from a medication point of view, sometimes patients will come with a bag full of old medications, and with pharmacy prices being what they are, folks are loath to throw stuff away.
They think this might
come in handy. I've got an old antibiotic.
I do that. I don't know what I think I'm going to do with that antibiotic, that erythromycin. I don't know what to do with that. What am I doing, Dr. Tynes?
Be careful. Yeah, don't.
Do those expire?
They do expire. Absolutely. They all expire. And for most of them, if you take them after they're expired, they're probably just less effective. But there are some medications that actually become dangerous after they expire.
They mutate? There's mutations?
Correct. They can cause seizures, all kinds of bad things.
Don't do bad things to yourself. Make sure you dispose of your medications properly. What's the oldest you ever saw someone bring in, like the oldest medic? Do you have any?
Oh my goodness, so faded you couldn't read the label.
Because it's all worn away. That's funny. More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. Okay, there is way, way too much macaroni and cheese in this. And I say macaroni and cheese. You know, I'm going to be a rebel and say the whole word, Todd Belcour. Macaroni and cheese.
Well, there's never such thing as too much macaroni and cheese. Let's get that settled right now.
As soon as you saw this come in and smelled the wonderfulness that was in the bags from Dave & Buster, from Whisk and Rocket, you said you're always surprised to come in someplace that doesn't seem like it's going to have soul food. Is macaroni and cheese a soul food or cornbread? Because that's what we also have, a tray of cornbread.
You know, I associate it with like Southern comfort food.
Okay.
And it's just something that's kind of caught fire in terms of the general restaurant industry. So everyone has their kind of own take on a representation of a kind of a traditional meal. So I'm interested to try it and see what it's like.
Because for me, like once I learned that there was something beyond Kraft mac and cheese, which was fine. I mean, like you know, put some barbecue sauce in there, and right. maybe some barbecue chicken or something in there. So you can spruce it up a little bit. Dr. Jerome, who is joining us to talk about World Stroke Day, we've also provided a plate of mac and cheese. Are you a mac and cheese fan?
On occasion.
Why are we so measured in our? It's a special occasions.
I have to watch my diet, as all of us do at this age.
Okay. Should we watch our diets at every age, I'm guessing?
That's an absolute case.
All right. Fair enough.
They say an ounce of prevention.
Well, this is one of those special situations where I think you can have some mac and cheese.
And I have to say, it's delicious.
What's the phrase for a pound of macaroni and cheese, though? I feel like there's something that goes along with that.
A phrase that goes with that?
Yeah, a pound of macaroni and cheese is what, a lifetime of struggle or something?
Yeah, something like that. I know where...
Lips forever on your hips.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's going to go on my hips. So we also have Dr. Tynus. How are you doing with your mac and cheese?
Oh, my goodness. This is a notch above, for sure.
This is unbelievable. And joining us in studio is one of the event coordinators and creators of the Mac and Cheese Fest, which is happening September 13th. We have Melinda Joseph in studio with us. How are you doing?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. It's actually November 4th. Oh, November? That will be Mac and Cheese Fest.
Oh, this ticket's going on sale on the 13th. You know what's funny? Look, you have it like in bold. So I go for the bold numbers. I just like jumped through the thing. So it's September 13th, the tickets start going on sale.
Yes.
And then the fest is going to go, the fourth annual Mac and Cheese Fest is Saturday, November 4th. And what was the inspiration for the festival?
That's a great question. It's actually myself and two other partners. We're like the three musketeers, and one of them, Cece, is from Lima, Peru. Now, mac and cheese is not a dish there. So when she first came here 15 years ago and had it for the first time, we ended up kind of eating it as a celebratory dish for certain occasions, and producing food fests over the past 8 years like Taste of the Gold Coast and Taste of Streeterville, kind of creating Mac and Cheese Fest just became a natural thing because we eat it. Sarah used to eat it a lot.
Oh my
all
God.
The time.
So what was her first impression of mac and cheese?
Like, I mean, she just didn't understand just like the noodles and the cheese. She's like, you know, where's the fish and the potatoes and the rice. I'm like, no, this is mac and cheese.
This is it. This is what you're getting. But now mac and cheese has become an art form.
Yes. The restaurants get very creative and very competitive. We have a lunch and a dinner session. We typically have dozens of restaurants at each session, and we do award a golden noodle by foodie judges and the fans for the best dish. And the restaurants get creative with pulled pork, with jalapeno, with cornbread. We've had all sorts of creations. We have a mac and cheese burger. The chefs get into it.
Now, there you go, Dr. Jerome. How about a mac and cheese burger? That's something you can have like once a year, is what you're saying. And when you have it, it should be at the Mac and Cheese Fest.
Isn't that
right?
A breed of dog? The golden noodle?
The golden doodle. Oh, the golden doodle.
She had us going, though. We're like, you know, but what I, it is. Is in
that
fact.
Sounds that sounds right.
They're both delicious.
I'm sorry.
Goodness.
It was a bad joke.
Ouch.
Wow.
That didn't help it.
Doctor's had a long week. She's like, I'm gonna go.
It's not even midnight yet, Doc. Come on now.
Now you had over how many people at this event last year?
We had over 4,000 people last year, and that's between both sessions.
Now, where do you hold this? There's enough room for 4,000 people to go to two sessions of a mac and cheese tasting.
The event will be held at the UIC Forum, which is at Roosevelt and Halstead.
Okay, so you're on a basketball court. You're basically in a is it?
No, that's the pavilion. Yeah, the Forum. It's just a really big, nice open space to enjoy mac and cheese all afternoon or evening with some beer, wine, and spirits. And it's for a good cause as well. We donate a portion of the proceeds to Ronald McDonald House.
Excellent. Oh, that's wonderful. And that's right down here by Lurie's Children's Hospital.
Yes, they've given us a brick on their roof. We've given over $35,000 over the past 3 years, so we look forward to continuing to work with them every year.
See, Dr. Jerome, there's sort of a spiritual investment in taking advantage of the Mac and Cheese Fest.
I'm simply going to bookend it with an apple on either side.
Is that what, does that take care of things? Well, so that's an interesting thing. So when we were talking earlier about people making lifestyle changes, I mean, it's not about only restricting yourself or, you know, taking things off the list that you could never have, but it's about making health style choices, knowing that, you know what, I'm going to make sure I have an apple. You know, you mentioned cholesterol as one of the dangers. If you have high cholesterol, it could lead to a stroke. I had high cholesterol. My doctor told me I had, because I was on the South Beach diet. Which is, by the way, cheese and meat, meat and cheese, cheesy meat with meat and cheese, and none of the noodles. And he said I had the cholesterol of a 64-year-old man.
Wow.
And he said that if you don't fix this, we need to start putting you on medication. And I bought a book, which it basically had the steps you need to take to lower your cholesterol naturally, which included like almonds and soy and walking and garlic, a lot of garlic. Did you guys know about this?
It makes you smell so good, too.
Oh, my husband loved it. I was eating whole cloves. I brought it all the way back down naturally without ever having to go on a medication.
That's wonderful.
That's fabulous.
But I'm going to have some mac and cheese. Let's take a quick break here so I can take a bite of some of the great mac and cheese that we have from Dave and Buster's. Is it Dave and Buster's?
It's Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's. Sorry, Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's has they have four different cheeses with a spicy brown mustard and corn and jalapeno. There's Rocket Bar and Grill did their curried mac and cheese with cheeseburger meatballs, spicy ketchup. And bread and butter pickles. And then Whisk did a barbecue pulled pork mac and cheese with an elbow pasta and a three cheese blend with a slow cooked pork.
Do you even taste the macaroni after a while?
All that goodness. I apologize to our listeners.
But it's also, we encourage people that come to try it all. You know, it's a bite size.
Right.
If you like it, you're welcome to enjoy more, but we want everyone to taste all of them because how can you vote if you don't taste them all?
And is it like a paper ballot where you sort of drop
it? Oh, yeah. We didn't even want to go into electronic because of falsifying votes. It's paper. It gets counted there. It's not like a Chicago election. We have foodie judges.
Oh, please. No longer.
The fans vote.
It's not limited to Chicago anymore, by the way. That's gone global.
And
as
paper
far
didn't
as
go too well in Florida either.
We try and make it as fair as possible for the restaurant.
Excellent. Let's try some of the mac and cheese while we
the
take a break here.
The hanging chads at the macaroni and cheese. Yeah,
knock all those chads out. More after this on 720 WGN. You know I can tell I have good guests in the studio. It's when Rob Martier, an engineer, Adam Phillips coming to the studio. It's for all the people that we have in studio, and also in particular, I'll be honest, it's for the mac and cheese. Brought to us by the Mac and Cheese Fest, one of the creators, the event creators, Melinda Joseph, joins us in studio. There will be about 50 Chicago chefs featuring their versions of mac and cheese, inspired from cultures, their own family traditions, and their restaurant's menu. There are VIP options, and this year the fest is offering $10 off for the first 500 tickets sold for those who sign up for their newsletter at macandcheesechicago.com.
Yes, that has already expired, but we're
never
happy
mind
to keep honoring it.
I didn't mean to say that.
Get Cheesy 17, you can still use that $10 off.
So Get Cheesy
17.
Get Cheesy 17.
If you can find it on the Ticketmaster page, you can get $10 off.
Now, if you do the VIP option, you can get all you can eat access.
So general admission and VIP are both all you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is with VIP, there's a seated area, and then you also get a fest shirt.
Excellent. I love it. It's such a fun festivity. Have you guys been, Dr. Tynes, Dr. Jerome, have you ever been to any food festival in general? Because I've started going to like food competitions, you know, whether it's like a chef face-off kind of a thing. You guys are going.
No, I haven't. That sounds fabulous.
Oh, this city is chock full of really incredibly talented chefs. Dr. Jerome, have you had the opportunity?
I just put that on my number one list.
Your number one list? Is it go? I mean, there are events like at Knife and Tyne hosts a lot of events at Concord 55. Where they'll do chefs from the area and they do a face-off, and there'll be like six chefs doing like one. They only have certain types of ingredients that they can use, and that's what's great about Mac and Cheese Fest. There's over 50 chefs that are going to be joining in on this.
Yes, they have to include a noodle and they have to include a cheese in their dish, but they're allowed to get as creative as they want. We've had This year we have Mahoney's that's doing a mac and cheese cake, a strawberry mac and cheese cake. So who knows what they're gonna do? But one of the past years, Auntie V's did a they did a bread pudding mac and cheese that won. So it had like a sweet and the salty.
Interesting.
So it's nice to come meet the chefs, try different restaurants, and of course enjoy mac and cheese.
Now, for people who can't eat dairy or gluten, are there gluten-free, dairy-free choices?
I'm
guessing there's going to be some chef that's like, I'm going to go all out and be there for that.
There's not, but...
And they never win.
We do have... We do have marked... If you are vegetarian, we do have marked for all the restaurants, I'd say about maybe 50-50, mm-hmm. that have vegetarian options.
Okay. Fair enough. And that makes a lot of sense, too, because there are people who want to enjoy a comfort food and are trying to find the different ways to put that in their diet. Dr. Jerome, who apparently has hit his mac and cheese quota for the month. I think you just knock November out by going to the mac and cheese fest.
Or bring your apple chasers.
Or just make it up with exercise.
Right? How much exercise? Because I saw something.
Walk there and back.
Perfect.
Oh, there you go.
How far away, though?
At the UIC Forum. Great. So Roosevelt and...
Halstead.
Well, Roosevelt and Halstead. Come on, we can do that. We walk there from here.
Absolutely.
It's a good healthy walk. Mm-hmm. What is your exercise of choice, Dr. Tynes?
I ride my bike a lot.
Yeah?
And I'm also a runner.
Oh, see.
But I ride my bike back and forth to work, or if I'm going out for the evening, sometimes I'll ride my bike instead of driving and trying to find parking, et cetera.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about you, Dr. Jerome?
I have to give Dr. Tynes credit. She's much more active than I am. I just try to walk everywhere and anywhere and not take the escalator or the elevator. Stairs and walks.
Come stair climbing with us, by the way. That's what we should do one of these nights, is you know how much I like those stairs.
That's for the other guests I think she's talking to.
There is a stair climbing.
Let me pass out in the stairwell.
I want to combine the American Lung Association's stair climbing event with the Mac and Cheese Fest. I feel like that way, like if we cross promote, look, eat this and then climb four presidential towers.
How about the reverse?
Yeah.
Let's do it in the other order.
Climb
first?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe there's macaroni at the top of each building.
Yeah. That's right.
It's your carb load, right? And then that
could be a good feature.
I think that we should do
this. Like the winning restaurant, you can climb and try it somewhere.
I love that. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to work on this. Maybe not for this particular year, right? But for 2018 into 2019 for the stair climb.
Yeah, give it some ramp up time.
Yeah, I think a little
stairway
bit.
Stairway to heaven is what I would call it.
I love stair climbing. It's one of my favorite forms of exercise. Cool. I mean, you're right. Don't take the escalator. Don't take the elevator. Take the stairs, Dr. Jerome. How many floors up do you have to climb?
Tallest climb would be up to the 9th floor intensive care unit at Northwestern Memorial.
Do you jog it or do you walk it?
A quick, swift pace.
Quick, so one step at a time or two steps at a time?
Depends how urgent the call is.
Oh, excellent.
I'm impressed that he does it in all cases.
There you go.
You try to take two steps at a time in my health, I'll mess around, you have to call a doctor to get me. It's like, where did Dr. Todd Belker go? Oh, he's passed out. He's trying to skip steps, trying to run up here.
He can't help you. He cannot help you right now.
Too much macaroni and cheese.
I was just thinking about this. I was showing my husband how I used to walk from Belmont to Lang Tech by DeVry. So I used to walk that. I didn't realize how far that was because I didn't want to ride with the kids from Gordon Tech. So I would take the Belmont bus instead. And when I started doing the math of like walking that every day and then in the hallways and all the kind of running around I did, and like, you know, as you get older, there's less opportunity to move around. Do you make
you know,
time?
I actually clocked my steps last year at Mac and Cheese Fest.
Did you really?
I did.
And what'd you end up with?
Half a marathon. I did 13 and a half miles, but I was there from, you know, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. from setup to both sessions and cleanup. But still, that was impressive.
No, now what do you average?
Don't minimize that. That's a
time. Yeah, right.
Well, that was last year, so I'll have to let you know what I did this year.
No, but what do you average like every day, though, if you're still...
About 10,000 steps, I would say. I'm pretty active.
Wow. And that's one of the things that I advise my patients. You know, they tell me, I don't have time, I'm too busy, I can't possibly exercise. And I say, well, why don't you incorporate walking or riding your bike or some other form of exercise in your commute?
Yeah.
And that's a guarantee. Five
Break
days
it up.
A week. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Bus a little, walk a little, run a little.
Yeah.
Todd, we'll figure it out.
Uber a little.
You didn't even go in the ocean with me. I was so sad. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I want to thank our guests for joining us in studio tonight. Melinda Joseph, who is one of the event creators of the Mac and Cheese Fest. Those tickets go on sale September 13th. What's today's date?
We're in October.
Wait, what was that?
We're in October. They're already on sale. The fest is a couple weeks
Oh, my God.
Away.
What day is today? Hold on a second. Is it October? Is it already October? 11. God, I'm so tired.
Friday the 13th is.
Am I in Los Angeles still?
I think so.
All right. So September 13th, the tickets already went on sale. The event is on November 4th. It is at the UIC Forum, which is at 725 West Roosevelt Road. So go to their website, which is macandcheesechicago.com. And for a discount, it's hashtag
GetCheesy17. There's no actual hashtag that you put into Ticketmaster. It's just GetCheesy17 all together. Doesn't matter uppercase or lowercase.
And that has over 50 Chicagoland chefs who have brought their special touches to the mac and cheese dish. The requirements are a noodle and a cheese, and then let your freak fly.
That's right. They get very creative.
Thank you so much for joining us, Melinda.
Thanks for having us, and we hope to see you guys there.
Absolutely. And thank you to Rocket Whisk and to Famous Dave's for bringing us amazing mac and cheese. Rob Martier and Adam seem to have missed the pulled pork portion of the macaroni and cheese. Dr. Kathy Tynes, thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us. And thank you for recommending experts from your field, from your hospital to at Northwestern. What do you want to let people know about for the Teal Pumpkin Project?
So the Teal Pumpkin Project is for children who have allergies. And these are households who are handing out treats that are non-food based. And so there's an opportunity to let those children still celebrate Halloween. You can post a sign outside your door. If you go to www.foodallergy.org, you can download and print those signs, or you can just paint a pumpkin blue and put that outside your home, and that will let trick-or-treaters know that your house is safe for kids with food allergies.
Excellent. And Dr. Jerome, tell us a little bit more about where people can find more information about World Stroke Day and look for the signs and be preventative.
I'd suggest your viewers go to the website stroke.nm.org. Again, that's stroke.nm for northwesternmedicine.org, and you'll find a ton of information on stroke prevention, detection, and treatment.
Excellent. Thank you so much to all of our guests. And we'll make sure to take another selfie with all of us before you guys go. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Todd Belcour, the Executive Director of Social Change. The Social Change International Film Festival begins this Friday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and...
King Drive. Yeah, for a weekend full of fun, film, and just community. People should come from all over and enjoy our celebration of common humanity.
Well, and that's the thing about Chicago and enjoying a festival like this is you really get to see a worldview, but also a personal view of what's going on and you know, with our neighbors, with our community, with fellow mankind, really. And I love
absolutely.
That. Where can people get ticket information for that?
ChicagoSocialChange.org is our website. ChicagoSocialChange.org.
And make sure, I'll be there. I'm going to be there on Friday. I've already made plans to be there Friday. Can't be there Saturday, may hopefully Sunday as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We're making Friday our WGN listeners come see all the films.
Absolutely. And for listeners who call in or folks who mention you, I'd be happy to give them a comp ticket.
Hey, what happened there? I like that. Also joining us is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, and she's also the president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. And one of the reasons that we met was at an event that was announcing the upcoming schedule for the Gift Theater. Which is the, hold on a second, let me get that, which is the amazing small theater in our, community theater in our neighborhood, Jeff Park.
It's physically a small space as well. Yeah. But yes, it is a small theater, but big, big productions there.
And this is what I want people to know. All over the city, there is a theater group in your neighborhood that is putting on amazing productions. And in studio with us, we have the House Theater of Chicago, and they have put together an amazing production. It's about United Flight 232, and this is the winner of the 2016 Jeff Award for Best Production of a Play and Best Ensemble. Was it for this play specifically?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So let me go through, and I know that I asked for your names when we first started, but then we had mac and cheese, and I... you're Johnny.
And my name's Johnny, yeah.
How I say, is it Arena?
Arena.
Arena? I've heard it both ways.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I've heard it both ways.
We're talking about my last name still, right?
I know.
Okay, let's make it sure.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Fresh off the bench. And you
wouldn't know it's midnight.
He didn't even, that wasn't even a grounder that got by me. That was like over, yeah. It was like a hit him where they ain't kind of a thing. I was like, wow, did not see that coming. He's one of the founding members of the House Theater Chicago and has been in every production of Death and Harry Houdini. We've had, I believe.
Yeah, Dennis here.
I had Dennis here, the magician. Yes, of course
and
I did.
And he was like, oh, I don't have anything prepared. And then he had 10 magic tricks just ready to go.
It was quite astounding.
Of course he did.
And thank you for joining us. us in studio. We also have Alana Elise.
Yes.
Wonderful to have you in studio.
Thank you for
and
having me.
She's originally from Detroit.
I am.
Does it feel like Chicago? Like
Detroit
at first you're like,
I'm in the building.
Do you tell that's everybody you're in Chicago and all of a sudden it felt like a lateral move? You're like,
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. I just feel like Detroit used to be.
Tell
what,
us how you really feel.
No, because Detroit used to be the, you know, whenever you wanted to talk about an urban area that was suffering, we would say Detroit. That is not the case in the last 2 years.
No.
It is Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We are the target.
And oranges at this point.
All right. What do you, are we the apple or are we the orange? What would you say? Depends on your personal preference.
You know what, let me go ahead and get back to this macaroni and cheese. I'm catching all kinds of eyes. Like, you bet not say nothing about Detroit. I was like, you're right.
Joining us as well is Abu Ansari. He became a company member in 2013.
Yes,
where are you from originally, sir?
I'm from Texas originally.
Texas?
Yeah.
This is not a lateral move for you. This is what's wrong with the temperature?
I've been here for 20 years, so.
All right,
you know, then. I go to Texas and I burn up and I want to get back to Chicago. So.
Well, after 20 winters here, though, you have to admit that polar vortex was—it felt personal those 2 years in a row, where you're like, you gotta want it. You gotta want it when you live in Chicago.
You do.
Yeah.
And then if you don't want it, it doesn't matter because you're stuck in it. So.
Yeah, I can't afford to move anymore.
That's right.
That is it. So, where did this theater come from? Where did the House Theater of Chicago come from?
Gosh, that's a great question. The lion's share of us were at Southern Methodist University between 96 and 2001.
Is this Beth Henley's university as
yes,
well?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. You didn't see that coming.
That was a deep pull. That was great. Yeah.
Before my time.
No, but incredible history and just a foundation for so many playwrights. I don't know if it's a part of the culture of that campus. What is it about that campus?
They nurtured us in a way. I would actually say that what they enabled us to do was create our own work. And that was sort of the genesis of where we moved to Chicago and decided that we would continue in that way.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of onus on us to as playwrights and directors and actors to sign up for spaces and conduct our own rehearsals. And so a lot of smaller little theater companies sort of formed in our university just because we had the ability to do that and exercise those things that we were working on in class. So it was a really unique opportunity for us. And out of that, we have a couple of founding members that were also from USC and a couple that studied abroad in London. And out of that genesis of just having the ability to create at such a young age and the people encouraging us to do so, we just kept doing it.
And what was the draw for Chicago? What brought you here in particular?
In thinking about what we were trying to do audience-wise, how we were specifically focusing on new work. We don't do anything that's not generated from our original playwrights or so we do work first from within our company, and now we do look for work outside of our company, but all original. And we were looking for audiences that would sort of really be able to come with us on that journey of we're only doing new work. You won't see Chekhov here. You won't see Shakespeare here. And also we were eliminating the ideas of fourth wall realism. So we do oftentimes direct address to the audience. United Flight 232, as we're performing it, the audience is your acting partners, essentially. All of the monologues that we give are directly to the audience.
As though they're passengers on the flight.
Yes,
is the way
absolutely.
I would imagine that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's intense.
Yeah, really.
Let's find out more about our guests. We have Abu Ansari, Johnny Arena.
That's right.
Arena and Elena. Alana Elise. They are here to talk about their production from the House Theater of Chicago, United Flight 232, which is running through October 21st.
Yeah.
And it's at the Chopin.
We call
see?
It.
See? It's not even two ways. It's not even both ways. Everyone's got a different pronunciation. It's at 1543 West Diversity. For ticket information, go to thehousetheater.com. That's theatre.com. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You need to go to chicagosocialchange.org for more information about the Chicago Social Change Film Festival, which starts this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive,
right here
in Chicago, one of the great festivals, and a way to really learn about your fellow human beings.
That's right.
Around the world.
film is really the best medium, in addition to, of course,
live theater.
Enjoying live theater.
Well
to really
done.
Transport yourself into someone else's experience in such a way where you feel compelled to do something and to address the issues they're seeing and dealing with.
And I don't think there's any better way to feel that in an immediate way and in a very intense way than to go see the production, the House Theater of Chicago's production of United Flight 232. I love that, you know, that you talked about how Johnny Arena was talking about one of the founding members of the theater. I know I'm being very specific. Arena! You're like, I've never heard my name like said so harshly. I didn't mean to. Only because my alderman's name is John Arena and I call him Arena and I can't make myself stop. I shall
only
break myself.
Only because she does that to everybody.
She's heard it both ways.
That's Alana Lise, who's originally from Detroit and is now one of ours. We're going to call you one of ours now.
I've been here 10 years.
So you've been here 10 years, and yeah. Abu Ansari has been here for 20 years. And tell us a little bit, Alana, tell us a little bit about this production of United Flight 232.
It is, I just first got to say, it is remarkable. Like, it is a remarkable experience on the inside. And I wish I could see it from the outside.
Really?
I did it, both Johnny and I did the original production last year as well. And so having the opportunity to come back and tell this story is unlike anything I've ever done. And so, you know, we're 9 actors. We cover 20 survivors and responders. Most of us play multiple characters. We feel like we're in an airplane, and the patrons walk into an airplane, and the story, like just the nugget of the survival rate of this particular crash landing, and being able to carry these stories and share this. This happened in 1989, and so you know many people either didn't remember it or weren't around for it.
And this was the one that was in Iowa.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember it. I remember, like, where did they sit? Where do you gotta sit to make it through that flight?
Right, yeah. and it's fascinating, right? Because there were no absolutes, you know, like people sitting side by side, one survived, the other didn't, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, you know. So it's just, you know, I feel like I'm stuttering so because
it's a big undertaking because of the sort of I would think the pressure, the immense you know gift it is to tell these stories, but at the same time to do it justice for the survivors and the people who perished.
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you met any of the survivors?
Yes. I play 2 men and a woman, and the woman finally came a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, and most of the cast got to have a more conversation with her. We spent 2 minutes thanking each other.
But the hug was beautiful to watch. I mean, it was a beautiful moment. I mean, they just hugged for such a long time.
Yeah, it was incredible. And last year, I play the air traffic controller who was new to the job when he had to bring them in. And he left the control tower thinking everyone had perished. He didn't know until the next day that there were survivors. So it was his first crisis that he went here to try to train to not have to deal with a crisis. Like he thought he was coming to a smaller airport. He was 27 years old at the time. And so so the landing happens and he thinks they've perished and he goes home. Well, he came twice last year.
Really?
You know, and there was...
He's probably working through a lot of things. I mean...
Yeah.
What is the obligation of an air traffic controller in that instance?
They don't have, like, they do their job and the result, you know, like, as long as they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing and sharing the information, there was nothing he could have done to prevent what happened. Just as there was nothing to be done about what actually happened in the plane, like, it was literally a freak accident, 1 in a billion chance of this blade breaking off and cutting the hydraulic lines to all of the hydraulic lines. Like, that is not even a thing. And they can't, even still, as they try to train, they can't duplicate that particular error in their simulations. Like, that's how rare it is. So,
well, probably because they engineer plans to make it even more impossible.
Right. Yeah. So, poor Kevin. There was nothing. He did everything he could possibly do, and that plane was doing what it was gonna do.
Wow. And Abu, what are the characters that you portray in this production?
I portray the captain of the plane, and then I play the Gregory Clapper, who is the chaplain of the National Guard, and who kind of brings everyone together to process what happened and what happened to them, and you know, without giving away, I think in a way that probably helps people be able to move forward with this experience. And I did, and I had a chance to meet Chaplain Clapper, who came to the opening night.
Wow.
I wasn't in the first production, so I've actually had the opportunity to watch the show and be in the show.
What's that like?
I remember sitting in the audience at the end of the show and not being able to do anything. Like, I couldn't clap. It didn't feel like I could clap, because it felt like clapping would be somehow disrespectful to
the people
who perished. But I wanted to stand up, and we stayed seating.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, it's a situation where you ask yourself, you know, what would I do? Would someone next to me help me? How would I be? Would I help someone else? And you really go into that deep human place of you know, suddenly there's no judgment for anyone, and you just have to be human. And that's what's beautiful about this place. Like, you just have to engage humanity when something like this happens. And so it's been a beautiful experience knowing the show and being able to watch it, and then being in the show and being able to, you know, I guess kind of tell the story.
That's amazing. Yeah. This sounds like an incredible production, and I encourage everyone. We need to do a WGN night. It's running through October 21st, again, at the Chopin Theater at 1543 West Diversey, and that's thehousetheater.com for more information. This play has been regarded as one of the best plays in Chicago and has won Jeff Awards for Best Production, a Play, and Best Ensemble. And all the review, you can go Google it. You can see what Chris Jones has said, what the reader has said, New City. And Johnny, what do you want people to know about the productions coming up? I know that you've got this going through next week. What else is coming up for the House Theater of Chicago?
We've got a bunch of great things coming up, actually. I also want to say, I'm sorry to say this, it's Division. It's actually not on Diversey, it's Division. I don't know who said Diversey, but we have to fire that person. Who is it? Who is it? Who needs to go? Who's getting fired? Chelsea's not here.
You know what?
So.
Let's just go ahead and do it this way, James. I've heard it both ways. Division.
Sold.
On Division.
So what's the address then?
1573 West Division.
Okay, 1543.
Okay, at least that part was true.
Sorry.
Right? We're going to have people going all over the city.
Help me find the plane.
Man, that.
I'm trying to see the production.
Oh, no.
I heard it on the radio. Help me, Jesus.
How can people find out about your upcoming season?
Well, don't ask me, because I don't know where anything is. No. Thehousetheater.com is our website. So we have some great things. We have The Magic Parlor, which is Dennis's show,
yes.
Which basically has an open-ended run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll have shows through the holidays and New Year, and then beyond the New Year as well, which is at the Palmer House Hilton downtown. He does it in several different rooms there. It's lovely. Have you gone to see it?
I need to go see it. Well,
oh, you have to go see it.
It is bad for me, because I'm like, I'll have these amazing performers in studio, and I'm like so enchanted, and I'm like, I should probably go see that. I've had the opportunity to see so many of the productions that we've had the pleasure of hosting in studio. And I also want, let's do this, because I know we're doing this also for the production of the Civil War play at Stage 773. We're going to do a rap party for Alfred Couch. Yeah, after cashier. After yeah, cashier. So that's cashier. Can you guys come back for a wrap party after the 21st?
Oh yeah,
I want to, because one of the things that's great is to talk with everybody about what happened during the production, things that you didn't even realize that somebody else didn't know, your own little moments. So we'll do a wrap party for this production.
That'd be awesome.
I would love that.
I have to go see the show too.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, I mean, other than obviously Dennis's show, please come see our show before it closes. We have 12 more shows. 12 more shows left.
Yeah, two more weekends.
Six this weekend and six next weekend. We have a Wednesday show next week for anyone who doesn't have necessarily weekend availability. We do have some shows during the week.
Perfect.
And then after that, November 3rd, the Nutcracker opens. So every year we do our own adaptation of the Nutcracker. It's not a ballet. It is a play that we have sort of taken the germ of the old story and rewritten, modernized, but sort of made a little bit timeless in that way, if that makes any sense, which I don't know if it does. So we have that. That'll run through the end of the year. And then in January, it's a remount of a play we did, I want to say, in 2004 or 2005, called The Hatfields and McCoys. Sort of our
I love a good revenge story.
Yes. And it's, again, our own sort of musical retelling. It's not a musical, but there's a lot of music involved in the show. Sort of telling of the Hatfield-McCoy rivalry in the Appalachians. And then after that, our spring show is called Ellen Bond, Union Spy. And it is a show about a real-life spy named Ellen Bond who worked in the... who was a slave in Jefferson Davis's White House and was a spy.
What?
Slave, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah. And, come see that one.
And she's a woman who existed. She had a photographic memory, and she did a lot of amazing work and spied on the Confederate White House. Yeah, so that'll be our spring show. So we've got an awesome season. Yeah, I know,
season.
I know.
Come on, tell me more. Don't stop.
We have an awesome season coming up. We want to see all of you there. We have so much fun performing these shows, and it's been such a Chicago has taken such good care of us. We really, really have, and I think you know we've all been here now. We started the company in 2001, so we've been here for 16 years, and so I mean, either way. So, we have a new office space that we're hoping to open by the end of the year in Irving Park and Rockwell. So we're still, that's like in the works right now. And so Chicago really has done a lot of holding us. And so we really want to give everyone a good time when they come to see our theater and hold the city back.
Well, let's continue to support each other and everyone go to thehousetheatre.com. That's thehousetheatre.com. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I'll see you after you guys close for your wrap party here in the studio.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you.
At the show, because you're going to come see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to come see the show. I can't. No, here's the thing. If I can't do the wrap party unless I see the show, it would be ridiculous. So, not. Like, oh, yeah, tell me how it went. More after this on 720 WGN. What? It's Wednesday night. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I feel like this is the most jam-packed show I've ever had. Todd Belcourt, you've been here for many shows. This is something that happened every single minute.
You're really showing your gifts today. I mean, the way you're juggling all these personalities and times and subjects, it's incredible.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
That's right.
And then there's mac and cheese. I feel like we talked about how to prevent a stroke or the signs of a stroke. And, you know, we have World Stroke Day coming up. People should be aware of the signs. Don't forget that the acronym was FAST.
That's right.
Is it FAST? Mm-hmm. It's facial
droop. Arm weakness. Speech difficulty and time. And time is of the essence. Call 911.
See, and that's why she's Madam President.
She's Madam President-elect. We'll
Did
see
she roll her eyes over there?
Of the Illinois State Medical Society. That's also Todd Belcourt, the Executive Director of Social Change, and their International Film Festival is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive. Go to the website.
Chicago Social Change, and we're calling it Change Fest. It's like a Lollapalooza for activists and do-gooders, so you don't miss it.
Change Fest?
That's right.
I like that. Just shorten it all up. I like that.
Thank you.
Joining us in studio as well are Soli Santos and Janice Rodriguez. They have did I say that right? She's like... Janice, it's funny, and it's so sad I've done it every single time. Come to that microphone. You know better as a comedian. Did I do it wrong every time you did the funny females? Like every single time?
Yes.
Every single time. Oh. And you never said anything?
She just now built the courage
up. I didn't like apologize. I'm so sorry, Janice.
No, you do not apologize. Mom doesn't know how to spell. It's good.
Oh, Jesus.
Janice Rodriguez. And here's the thing. I'm always tempted to you never hear me use an accent until I get Rodriguez. Janice Rodriguez and Soli Santos have an event coming up. Soli, tell us about this event you have.
So we will be on the South Side Saturday. Yes, South Side in Hyde Park at the Revival. So we normally have our monthly show on the North Side in Wicker Park at a hair salon. Okay. We utilize the venue, the space. The salon usually isn't. It's not open when we have the show.
So you're not doing like nails first and then.
Yeah, she did say usually.
Usually,
we're not getting our hair did.
Wait, I get a feeling like you said usually, and I'm getting the sense that maybe someone comes in for a blowout.
It's really not a bad idea.
Right. Yeah.
I would go.
That would be cool. Getting
two birds with one stone.
I'm telling you.
And sometimes I'm bored sitting in that chair. I need a little entertainment.
That's the whole business model for the beauty bar.
I think so. It's better than people eating while they're watching comedy. Right? Because when people are eating, like, it's
the worst.
It isn't,
though. They're not focused.
They are not focused. And what's the name of the show?
It is Las Locas Comedy.
Because you're crazy?
Because we got some problems.
what kind of problems you got, Janice? Aside from your mother not being able to spell your name.
That was the foundation for all her problems. Right.
Instead of therapy, I do comedy. So,
I mean, is there ever anybody who gets your name right?
No. Except I went to Cuba in July, and you know you're going through the customs, and they're like, Janice Rodriguez, and I'm like, yes, thank you so much.
But they say Janice, so they do it with a Y. So I'm doing it wrong, Janice. Mm-hmm.
I was born in Indiana. Janice is cool.
I was called Janice for the first 15 years of my life. Right. You said it was in Hyde Park, but I'm not sure if I got the day and time.
It's a Saturday at
9:30 doors.
Yeah, Saturday, October 14th.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. Saturday. We don't want to compete with your event.
No, not at all. Our reception ends right around then. People should be sauced up and ready to go down the street to Hyde Park. It's
after
47
party.
And King
Drive.
I'm
there
telling you.
Oh, the after Sweet party. Thing.
I'd honestly like to go. We're together. Don't mind me coming in and get a little haircut and getting.
Where do
well,
we
not
get?
At the revival. You'll be.
No haircut.
At the revival. But we'd love to have you come.
No, for sure.
And where do people get tickets in advance? Can they get tickets in advance?
Yeah, at the revival website, or you can go to laslocascomedy.com. Or just show up. Tickets at the door. I love it.
So you were born in Indiana.
Yeah.
And your name is Janice Rodriguez.
Yes.
How did that go? how did that work out?
A lot of Janices. Okay. Yeah. And just raise my hand. Just call me whatever you want.
But did you get a lot of like Rodriguez, so what are you?
Ooh. Yeah. Well, in my neighborhood, everyone's just Mexican. Okay. So, but I'm not. But so I'm like, there's other Spanish-speaking countries.
They just assumed.
Yeah.
That was a real
popular one. So,
so you're Latina, but not Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask?
Oh, of course. Yeah, my family's from Puerto Rico.
All right.
All good.
Oh, how are we?
Not all good. Sorry, not all good. No bueno. Same with Soli's family.
Yes.
Yeah. Not so hot. So.
Wow. Are you in communication with family members?
Yeah, so now we are.
Yeah.
How long did it take? A long time. My one cousin, he just is like real good on the Facebook. He drove to get a signal, and then he was like, we were on IM right away.
On the Facebook.
That was from Indiana. I used an article before. Right, that's funny. But some other ones, like my mom just talked to her brother, my uncle, like for the first time in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So it's not good down there, guys.
No,
no matter
some,
what.
Now there's
the
some
news
like,
is telling you.
Yeah, now there's some horrible fatal disease that people are contracting.
Yes.
Oh, no,
yes, I can't pronounce
one.
It.
Yeah, neither can I, but it is it's like a infection.
Is this from standing
is it from
water?
The water?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Is that from dengue?
No, it's...
That's from mosquitoes.
No. Yeah.
But it's the water has just been standing there with all the sewage and everything, so... It's going to be old
with
school,
an L.
Like
it's with
typhoid
an L.
or something. Yeah.
It's with an L.
Leishmaniasis?
But
no.
That's not, no. But here's the thing. They have so many paper towels
impressive.
Now. They have
right,
at least,
thank you. At least Bronnie's
thank
there.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, at least six rolls, right?
Yes.
They got about six or seven rolls
that'll
of paper towels.
That'll clean up everything.
Yeah, no, that's the quicker picker upper. that should go well.
That's really aggravating.
And what was so interesting was how many people that had to step up and say, you know, it's America.
Right.
Yes. But I kind of, I mean, I don't
Let's
know, Janice, I don't know what your experience has been like, but I kind of already knew that. Like, like, I knew that people didn't know. Like, my whole life, I feel like part of my purpose in life is to be like, you know Puerto Rico's part of the United States, right?
Right?
You know Puerto Rico's part of the United States, right?
Sure. Just walking around.
Well, I definitely was an ambassador in Hammond, Indiana. I was definitely like... Let me tell you more about my homeland.
I feel like that would be a good campaign on Michigan Avenue. You know, Puerto Rico's from the United States, right?
No, right.
Especially when I've been told to go home. So it's like, well, you realize
go
my
home
is Wrigleyville.
You've been told to go home?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's happened to me.
Not like when the bar closes.
No.
Like,
no.
Wow.
Like, To go home.
Go home.
Which was like, well, if you go wanted back to where go you came home, from. Well, where I came from was Wrigleyville, right. So I don't right. have that far to go. If you want to be technical, but still, if I went back home, I'm still in the United States.
Right.
But it just happens to be a part that's surrounded by a lot of water.
Big water.
Big water. Big water.
Yeah. Big water.
Your lineage is probably closer to the mainland of the United States than the person who's talking trash's lineage is. So it's crazy how that works.
It is.
What?
It,
I love that. I'm going to use that.
I just
that
did the hashtag.
You want to hashtag that?
I wouldn't be able to remember what I said.
Let's remember what he said during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm hanging out with some wonderful guests. It has been a chock full show and one of my favorite shows I've done. I love all the shows. I mean, it makes me feel like I'm being too particular, but I want to say that tonight has been a lot of fun. Joining me is Todd Belcour, who is the executive director of Social Change, and they have their film festival this weekend. It's Change Fest, and it's at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive. That is going to be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And right after you finish your round of incredible theatrical presentations on Saturday, you can head over to the Revival Las Locas with Janice Rodriguez and Soli Santos.
How long is the show?
About an hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay.
And cool. How many performers do you have?
Six
performers.
Oh, good.
What? And you're all crazy?
We're all crazy.
Each and every one
you know
of us.
Gwen? Gwen La Roca? Gwen La Loca?
It's a requirement. It's mandatory.
Yeah. We curate the crazies of Chicagoland area, too.
I just
how
said
do you test for that? Is it like a survey?
We
like
just
Myers-Briggs?
Know. Yeah.
What did your parents think when you told them you're going to go into comedy?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm new. I'm new to it. I'll be going on my second full year coming up soon. So
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I think they were like, okay, whatever fun you're doing for fun.
Sure you are.
Sure
you'll
are.
Do.
That's great.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how that works out for you.
But now they're like, wait, you really like doing this? I'm like, yeah, Mom, I actually perform at shows.
What were your plans? What did they think you were going to do?
Well, I actually am a small business owner. I'm plenty busy already. So they were like, why are you adding more stuff to your already plate? And when are you going to have some kids? So that's really the thing.
Do this first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before you pursue anything fun. They're super supportive. They were just like a little like, why?
What's the small business about?
Super fun event staffing. You know, like people that hand stuff out for you for free. That's, I hire people to do that.
Oh, there you go.
No.
Keep people working. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just
yeah,
like, no.
You keep people working.
It makes me feel dead inside. But otherwise, I mean, it pays the bills.
There you go. And Soli, what did your family think when you got into stand-up comedy?
I'm laughing already.
Do they know?
Well,
right.
They didn't
today
know
is
for
National
almost
Coming
the first
Out Day.
Year.
The yeah.
I should have used that as the day to tell them. No, I didn't tell them for almost a year.
Really?
And then by the time I told them, my sister-in-law made it very clear that they already knew because they had seen my name on a flyer and assumed that it was me. And then I later found out my other sister-in-law happened to be at a show of mine. And she had asked my brother if he was going to go to the show. And his response was, well, she didn't invite us, so I'm not going to go. So she went with her friends. But she called him and she had him listen to my set on the phone.
No. Yes. This is hardcore.
And then he told me that he couldn't make out what I was saying, but he could hear all the people laughing. So,
that's wonderful.
So, it wasn't like a bad thing. It was just, a weird way. I was like, I didn't know how they were going to respond to that. Plus, it was going to add pressure to already the pressure of just
doing the show.
Yeah. Of starting out doing comedy. So I was like, I needed to grow some courage before I was going to be like, hey guys, guess what I'm doing with my life?
Plus right you want to talk about them. So you don't come to the show because I'm going to talk about you.
Right.
Right.
You come, I'll lose all my material.
Yes.
There's so many things I can't talk about. Patatinas, how old are your kids?
18 and 15.
18 and 15. Do they have any aspirations to be performers? Or are they hiding it from you?
No. My daughter is 18 years old. She wants to be a doctor. She wants to be a neurosurgeon, which, funny thing, they had a neurosurgeon on the show.
Yes, we did.
So what a great connection that was, because I've already got him hooked up to show her around a neurosurgery suite and show her what it's like. So that's exciting. My 15-year-old is just a natural-born comedian.
Okay.
Yes. And I remember him as a toddler.
I was in the bathroom blow drying my hair, and I just kind of pretended to blow dry him with, and he must have been 3 years old, and he did a pratfall as if as if I had knocked him down with the hair dryer. Awesome. And that's nice. Him. Yeah, he just, it comes out of him. He's naturally funny.
Does he want to try it?
He has not taken the stage at all. So
he's just for fun.
He's around his peers. He likes to clown around.
Do you, when you guys were kids, Janice, when you were a kid, were you, would your friends, looking back, people you've talked to, did they think that you're the kind of person that would go into comedy? Did they think you were funny?
Yes.
Yes.
I've heard that a lot. When I finally announced it, because I kind of got into it, and then I'm like, okay, maybe 8 months in, I'm like, come see me, you know, real reluctantly on the Facebook. I said it again, darn.
The Facebook. The Facebook.
Indiana.
You say it all the time.
I do. I'm sorry. I can't. But they were like, oh, God, this is perfect for you. What took you so long? So I'm like, oh, okay. I should have maybe checked in with you guys in my 20s, figure out what was going on.
What should I do?
Yeah, right. Well, the rest of my life.
It's one of those things where people see it in retrospect.
Sure.
You know, they're like, I can see that. How about you, Soli? Were people surprised?
Not from grade school or high school. They weren't. They were like, yeah, we could totally see it. And I do remember as a kid going to family functions, and as soon as I'd arrive, my cousins would be like, she's here. All right, make us laugh. And
oh, I was like, no.
I'm not here to perform for you guys.
That happens a lot when you first start doing comedy. Yeah. You show up to a party and everyone like sits around you, like waits for you to do your material. It's, you know, just like when you show up at a party, people want you to do you know, summation.
Legal assistance.
Yeah, yeah. Legal assistance.
Show me their rashes.
So,
that's what I
get. Oh, can I show you something? More for this on 720W. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Every single microphone is taken, and I love nights like this because it's part chaos, it's part fun, and it's part incredible. And everyone here joining us tonight, so thrilled to have you in studio. We have Janice Rodriguez and Soli Santos. Mm-hmm. They have their performance of Las Locas. Pardon me.
Yes.
Yeah, that came out of my mouth too fast. I apologize, ladies. Okay. Las Locas this weekend at the Revive in Hyde Park.
Revival.
I didn't finish that word there. I didn't. I wrote it down and it ran into Janice spelled correctly.
No.
Janice.
She has so many notes.
So many.
I do. Revival. In Hyde Park. It's going to be this Saturday night at 9:30, which is a perfect after party for the Social Change Fest International Film Festival this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Change Fest. That's Todd Belcourt, Executive Director of Social Change, and also my savior in Springfield. Is that too much pressure?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know what's great about that? Is that moment that you kept me from talking to Representative Ives, things have gotten only crazier.
You used to not name her name.
I know. Oh, didn't I know? Representative Ives. No, because like the crazy's out of the bag. Like when a representative tweets out, teachers are the most cowardly group out there. Like, I don't need to like hide from who that. I mean, a veteran who cuts veterans' benefits. And now people are like, we should have a run for governor. And then she's like, why is someone creating a fake Twitter account for me? Not getting how Twitter works. So so Todd kept me from approaching her. And one of my first sort of interviews in Springfield, he's like, you don't want to start. I still have never spoken to her. It's
you have to work your way up.
Yeah. I'm not going to get to that tree. That tree's had a lot of dogs visit it. We have Dr. Kathy Tynes.
Ouch.
No, because I mean, like, that's some, you know, the when burn. the trees sure. are, you know, the dogs are marking their trees and just saying, anyway, so we have Dr. Kathy Tynes in studio with us for Wellness Wednesday. And I want to thank you so much for reminding us about Teal Pumpkin Project, which makes sure that kids who are celebrating Halloween but are allergic to a lot of candies know that the house that they're going to is safe for them.
Correct. So, you know, households that want to participate can put up a flyer outside their home, can put out a pumpkin that's painted blue, and just let the kids know that they're putting out non-food treats for Halloween.
Excellent. And now also joining us in the studio, non-food treats. So if kids are allergic, you get like a pencil, erasers, toys. Yeah.
Oh.
Like fun tattoos stuff. And stuff.
He's sad.
Your reaction is the
I'm
same.
I'm sad for these
it's
kids.
It's not for you.
I feel I'm with you. Man.
Well, it's life and death.
We've got Kleenex.
Yeah, kids have life and death.
Kids who have peanut allergies can't go. I mean, like they're. It's kind of like going through the motions of it, but it won't be anything they can enjoy.
Wow.
Because it could be life and death.
That's rough.
And there you go. And then we talked to our friend, life and death, Wayne Baker Brooks. How are you doing tonight, sir? Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
You have an incredible celebration coming up this Friday night. What's going on?
Yes, it will be my 20th anniversary gig.
Excellent.
Oh, as a leader, I've been in the business since 1988, but I started my band in 1997.
And what's your band called?
My name, Wayne Baker
Brooks. Wayne Baker Brooks. And that's really the way to do it, isn't it? It's easy to remember,
yeah.
And everyone knows who they're coming to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, three names, you know, it's like Wayne Baker Brooks sound like a country guy.
You know, honestly, when she described it, when she kept talking about, I'm like, Garth Brooks?
Right? He did.
Is that his light-skinned son?
That's my cousin, man.
There you go.
Where is this wonderful celebration happening?
At Space in Evanston.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's my my first gig there, my first weekend gig there. I did the Blue Monday. And it was the best turnout they had for Blue Monday. So it's like, all right, let's do a weekend. I'm like, all right, come on, let's do it.
That is the most incredible green room. Because it's not a green room. It's an entire suite for performers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The area where the performers hang out is almost as big as a space where they perform.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And it's a studio.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You can record while you're waiting to do your gig.
It's a shrine to musicians.
Yeah,
wow,
it is.
Our
it
green
really is.
Room in the salon is where you sit to get your hair washed.
The sinks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you ever had a performance where they're like, you have to sit in the kitchen like at a table, like in a hotel or something? They're like, just sit in this corner. Or
back,
like in a corner. Yeah.
I was at a hotel, so we were back in the kitchen.
Kitchen,
the staff. Yeah, the staff.
And they're all looking at you like, why are you in my way?
Right.
So tell us about your 20th anniversary.
Well, I've been, you know, performing, traveling. I've been to 40 different countries performing, you know, since 1997. And just, you know, I'm going to, you know, go back to my, you know, beginnings, the roots. And I used to jam at Buddy Guy's Legends before I started my band. And wow. Then, you know, just, you know, trying out songs when I'm not on the road with my father. You know, I would, like, just come to Monday night and jam out and, you know, do songs and sing. And then I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to start my own band. So I started gathering some friends, you know, to come over and jam with me. And then it turned into, you know, getting a gig. My first gig was in Kalamazoo in 1997, and it was a sold out show.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
That's a way to start.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember how many people were at my first show. Not a sold out show.
A show out of state too, right?
Oh, no, in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's great. I love that. And that journey, he's celebrating his journey this Friday at the Space in Evanston. Do you know the website for that?
Space in Evanston, I believe.
Space in Evanston. Well, Google it. Google Wayne Baker Brooks at Space in Evanston.
Yeah, you can go to my website, you know, waynebakerbrooks.com. And
that's Wayne traditional spelling?
Yep.
Baker also.
Yeah. Brooks.
It's evansonspace.com. The little voice in my head, which is also known as Michael Heidemann, my producer, who gets all the information. He feeds it to me. Sometimes I seem really smart. It's just everything I say is actually from Michael Heidemann looking things up for me. So any number you hear me throwing out there, Michael's like, that's 1.5 million women who take hormone management medication for reasons other than planning their pregnancies. That's my goal, Thetatinus. My goal is to change the labeling of hormone management medication.
Oh, yes.
Very good idea.
Because if we call it what people are calling it now, it will continue to be vulnerable.
Because it's used for multiple things besides contraception.
Yes.
So you are correct.
Including endometriosis, mm-hmm. severe bleeding during menstruation.
Women who have fibroids.
Fibroids, mm-hmm. yeah. So that's my goal. This is the movement we're starting here. Is hormone management medication. Because let an employer ask why you're taking that, and I'm going to say, otherwise I'm going to stain a lot of your furniture. More to this on 720 WGN. Can you read my mind? You know what this music means. It means that Dr. Lars Dingman joins us on the line, and we are so thrilled. Dr. Dingman, how have you been?
Fantastic, Patty. Thank you for asking.
I apologize that we were off last Wednesday, and, you know, I felt like something was missing from my life, honestly.
Sure. You know, if you don't talk to me every week, your future becomes cloudy like bad soup.
Oh, I could see, yeah. Well, and then I get that stuff that floats on the top, like that film that's kind of weird. Like it's, it looks like sausage casing on the top of my soup, and I'm like, I let this sit too long, and that's what it feels like when there's too much time between our conversations, sir.
Yeah, I would have been on your show, but I have a studio in my home. It was ruined. I had a visitor come over, and the person just destroyed all of the whole studio had to be rewired.
I'm so sorry to hear that, sir. That seems like a hassle in your life, and I'm sure that your friend it feels very badly about that and wishes you only the very best.
I think she did it on purpose, actually.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you know, why would somebody sabotage you that way?
You know what? Some people are very weird. Because of my gift, you know, I can see the future. I can see past lives. Sometimes that influences people in a strange way, and they think I'm a Wiccan, or it frightens them. And I don't understand that. I don't, you know, everything is fine now, but not talking to you on a Wednesday night, it changes my life.
Is it possible that perhaps this happened because you needed like a reset? Like maybe this person was actually a positive force in your life, pushing you forward, moving you forward in ways that you didn't know were possible?
No, I think it was all bad. Yeah.
You need to give it a moment's thought.
Dr. Dingman, in studio with us, we have Todd Belcour, who is the executive director for Social Change. He has an incredible film festival starting this Friday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive. We also have Soli Santos and Janice Rodriguez. They are performing Las Locas at the Revival in Hyde Park at 9:30. So you can go to Social Change Film Festival and then show up for that afterwards. We also have Dr. Kathy Tynes, who has been informing us about a lot of important wellness situations that people need to be aware of, and also Wayne Baker Brooks, who is a musician celebrating his 20th anniversary with his band Wayne Baker Brooks this Friday at a Space in Evanston. You can go to spaceinevanston.com for more information. I think, Dr. Dingman, have you done many musicians in your past? Have you done readings for them?
I do. Yes, I've done Derek Trucks from the Tedeschi Trucks Band and other guitar players and vocalists. Musicians uniquely attuned to what I do, because their whole lives, their business is vibration, you know? So it's actually very effective with musicians.
Well, there you go. So can you explain to Doctor, please explain to Wayne Baker Brooks what you need from him in order to do a proper reading for him?
Sure. Wayne, nice to meet you.
Hey.
What I do is you tell me the last three songs that you randomly heard. Not that you volitionally played, but that you randomly heard. And from those song titles alone, I can then tell you your future.
Wow.
Do you want to have a reading done? I mean, do you have any apprehension about situations like this?
I like to, you know, let it be, you know, let it, you know, that's, I just like to let
Which
it
is a
flow.
Great song, by the way.
He's like, now I need two more from
it. Yeah. I'm curious to see how this goes for you. Because right. Dr. Dingman is world-renowned. He has done readings for people, you know, just on our show alone. It's been remarkable to see what he's done for people. So I'm curious to see how it goes for you.
Right on. All right, I'll give it a shot.
All right.
I've never had this done before, so I'll give it a shot.
All right. Dr. Dingman, you guys take it away.
All right. All right, so Wayne, tell me the last three songs that you randomly heard.
2 Chainz, song, birthday song. All I want for my birthday is a big booty girl.
That may sound like multiple songs, but it's really just one song.
Wait.
He is assuming that the doctor did not know the lyrics, so he wanted to walk him through.
He's making that up.
Can you sing a couple bars of that for us?
That's actually part of the lyrics, though. Believe it or not, those are actual lyrics
in
the song.
Yeah.
All I want for my birthday is a big booty girl.
Okay.
Put on his whitest voice for
that. Oh, there it is.
Big booty girl.
Big booty. Big booty?
Big booty girl.
Okay. All right.
Right. This is only the first song, y'all. I didn't know if we're ready for next two.
I don't know how he's going to top this.
And then Jimi Hendrix, Foxy Lady.
Sure.
Okay. Is a Kanye song? Is a big booty girl or no?
No, that's 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
Oh, 2 Chainz. All right. I don't know why Kanye's coming up in my thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Dr. Dingman, take it away.
So big booty girl.
He only has 2 songs,
and
though.
What's the third song?
And give me back my wig hat.
Ooh.
Give Me Back My Wig Hat. So we've got Give Me Back My Wig Hat, Big Boot, All I Want for Christmas is a, All I Want for My Birthday is a Big Booty Girl, and Foxy Lady, Give Me Back My Wig Hat. It sounds, to me, Wayne, like all these songs are about sex and crazy, like, lovemaking in the back of a van. Are you, you're permanently... I'm seeing that... have you ever played cards? Playing cards, Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm seeing is that most people, married people, monogamous people, they have one card. You're married to a queen or a jack or a seven or whatever. I'm seeing you've got a royal flush of broads in your life right now.
I've never seen that deck of cards that you're seeing, Doc, but okay.
I used to be the ambassador. But
he left that open to interpretation intentionally, I think.
But you know, I'm nice and settled right now in my life, and I'm too old for the big booty girl. It's just
so you're in a relationship with one person right now, one baby.
Yes.
Oh wow, him doubling back on it as if he didn't believe you the first time.
So that's the big booty. That's your birthday present. That's what you got. That's the big booty girl for your. That's your queen. Okay, in the cards. I'm also Foxy Lady.
Yeah, man.
She's a very
kinky girl. No.
Is there a D in her name?
A D in her name?
No.
The letter D. No. Okay. A T.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I see movies and I hear things. I couldn't tell if it was a D or a T. There's a T in her name, and she is your Foxy Lady. You are devoted to her. You're very enamored of her. And the sex and the love thing is very important in your life. I would say that you are, there are people that are sex positive and sex negative. You're like sex super positive. True or false?
Super positive.
Very true.
Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes if you leave your car lights on overnight and your battery won't start, the AAA guy comes and jumps your battery. You're like that guy. You could jumpstart a dead guy's love life. You have that kind of
energy. I don't want to do that.
Well, maybe you're helping people in your audiences, you know, help jumpstart
their... Well, I tell you, my crowd tends to get caught having sex in the bathroom.
Oh,
wait, really? What?
That never happens for comics. No. They're not.
Maybe doing something else, but not sex.
Yeah.
That happened at a Barry Manilow show. there was a sexual, I'm feeling there's a sexual energy, and that's what these three songs are talking about. You got Foxy Lady, All I Want for My Birthday is Big Booty Girl. And the other song, what was the third song? Foxy Lady.
Oh, Give Me Back My Wig Hat.
Give Me Back My Wig Hat. So I think that song, that's the one that is the curveball in this mix. Give Me Back My Wig Hat. You feel as though I'm seeing black. Do you dress in black a lot? Like Johnny Cash would always dress in black?
Actually, I do.
Are you wearing black? You're wearing black right now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm seeing the wig hat is a reference to stylish. James Brown dressed flashy. Porter Wagoner dressed flashy. I see that you are very minimalistic in your dressing. The black and the wig hat is the black mesh, almost like a do-rag. Do you ever wear that under a hat? I'm seeing layers of hair.
This dude
like you
is
have
good.
A do-rag.
Man. This dude is good, man.
Do you wear that?
Yeah, I actually do, and that's because when I'm on stage, I sweat, and I don't want to mess up my hat while I'm sweating.
Right.
So he hit it right on. He hit it. Wow.
Yeah, I'm seeing what the Give Me Back My Wig Hat means. Your hat is where you keep your brain inside, and all your music comes from your brain, right? And I feel has anyone ever stolen? You know, you hear stories about the early rock and rollers, how people stole their rights to the music and cheated them out of money. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
okay. That's because you're insisting on getting it back. Give me back my WCAG. You're not going to take my intellectual property. It's a term for that. And I think I'm seeing that you're very savvy business-wise. I'm seeing two brains. You have one brain that's very creative and very musical, and another brain that's very business and monetarily smart.
Absolutely, Matt. It is insane because my my publishing company is called Two-Headed Man.
Huh?
No.
No, come on.
I'm serious.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Oh, this is remarkable. We have to go to a break and then the news. Dr. Damon, will you mind hanging out and doing a reading for our other guests in the studio if we have time for everybody? I'm going to go around and find out who wants to go next. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Dingman on the line with us. He is the iTunes psychic. You can follow him on, you can actually get his podcast on iTunes, as well as follow him on Twitter at iTunes Psychic. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And Dr. Lars Dingman joins us on the line. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. Dr. Dingman, we have some incredible guests with us tonight. We have Todd Belcourt, who is the executive director of Social Change, and he has his international film festival, Change Fest, at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive.
This weekend.
That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you go on Saturday, you may as well stay through the whole day and then haul your butt over to the Revival in Hyde Park for Las Locas.
That's what I'll be trying to do.
With a tremendous group of comics. We have Soli Santos and Janice Rodriguez in studio with us. They'll be performing.
We never heard just a single woo.
Wayne Baker Brooks is enjoying some of our incredible treats from our friends at the Mac and Cheese Fest, which is coming up on November 4th at UIC Forum. And Dr. Kathy Tynes is in studio with us. She is the president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society.
Madam President.
I can't believe I got all those things. I didn't even see notes.
Just
I don't know.
Natural.
By the way, Wayne Baker Brooks will be at the Space in Evanston. Go to spaceinevanston.com for more information.
He's showing off now.
I've heard it both ways, Michael. evansonspace.com for Showtime information. We need to all go to that. Dr. Kathy Tynes, I believe, is our volunteer to go next. Dr. Dingman. Dr. Kathy, Dr. Dingman, take it away.
Do you remember that movie Spies Like Us? There was a scene in there. Doctor. Do you remember that? Is anyone, or anyone besides me?
Doctors in Love, one of Gary Marshall's first movies.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Well, I remember that. There, a group of doctors are introducing them. Doctor. They're shaking hands. Anyway.
Doctor.
Only I get that humor. So I just want to put a plug in for the fact that Wayne Baker Brooks and I know each other in a previous life because we were a part of a group called the polite term for it would be BSers Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which has since unfortunately disbanded, hopefully temporarily. But it was a group of people that were like-minded and funny and weird, and we'd get together and talk and BS
each other.
Different professions, you know, from DJs to producers to directors, doctors, lawyers.
Indian chiefs.
Musicians.
Excellent. Yep. I love
hoop
this.
Hoop jumper. I'm a hoop jumper.
Dr. Dingman, are you okay over there? It sounds like you fell down a hill or something. What happened?
I'm good.
Not everyone responds so charitably to readings.
He's doing yoga right now.
All right, Dr. Kathy, Dr. Dingman, go ahead and take it away. Docs.
All right, Dr. Kathy, tell me the last three songs that you randomly heard.
Okay. So, let's see. Band on the Run, Paul McCartney.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Artificial Age by Prince.
Okay.
Baby Driver, Simon and Garfunkel.
What, Baby Driver?
Baby Driver. They call me Baby the Baby Driver.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so Baby Driver, Band on the Run, and the third one?
Artificial Age.
Ooh.
Which you can hear it in both ways.
Right, well, we've got Artificial Age and Baby Driver, two things that are dealing with time, temporal issues, and a Band on the Run, you're either running to something or away from something. Do you have a big milestone birthday coming up soon?
Ooh, my birthday's on Sunday.
What?
Yeah.
But it's not a milestone unless...
Every birthday's a milestone, isn't it?
Well, I call it my Herbie the Love Bug birthday.
And you'll have to Google and take a look at Herbie the Love Bug if you want to know how old I am, because I'm not going to say it on the radio. I'm a woman.
I believe he was a, was he 39?
Him and Jack Benny forever.
He's a learned man.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor.
Well done.
Is that the right, is that the correct number?
No.
No,
no, no. Add a few.
Yeah, I'm seeing that you've been, this has been on your mind, the birthday coming up, and it's weighing on your mind. You're feeling like, it, whatever the number is, we won't say it because we're on the radio, but it's bothering you in some way that it probably shouldn't, okay?
Okay.
And that's, you're running from it. Band on the run. You're running. You are what you are, you know. And the alternative to turning this age is not having any more birthdays. So any birthday is a good one.
There correct. Go. I tell my patients that all the time when they complain about getting older. I say, well, it beats the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
True story.
And I think you've got to take some of your own medicine here, doctor. I believe true or false. For some reason, even though this may be not a typical. What people would call a milestone birthday, it has been, for some reason, weighing heavily on your mind more than other birthdays, true or false?
Interesting. You know, it feels like uncharted territory for me, for some reason. I'm not quite sure why this one feels more than others, because it's not a round number, it's not even an even number, it just feels odd. And I think you're right, and I can't put my finger on why that is.
Is it a prime number?
It is a prime number.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm seeing 43.
I would not have known what a
I know. I'm
ooh,
like,
ooh, God bless you. That's very school. Kind of you, but yeah. But that's all right. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm seeing it's definitely a prime number, which means what the universe is telling you is that even though you are approaching this birthday with some trepidation, you are still in the prime of your life, and it's a function of fear. Obviously, the only reason people don't like growing older is because, you know, every year you're in theory closer to dying, and it weighs on people in different ways. But the universe is telling you with this upcoming birthday, this is going to be a prime year in your life. I'm seeing. Are you engaging in a new? You're branching out your business or your practice in a new way that you have not done before? And are you worried? You're doing something new this year. Yes,
I think professionally and personally has happened to you new, hasn't it?
So I recently got married. Married for the second time.
Okay.
Different person. as we said when we went to get our license, we're on number two of three for both of us.
Okay.
And I'm the president-elect of the State Medical Society, so in the upcoming year, I will be taking over the reins as president. So that's a big step.
Yeah, that's what the universe is saying. You've got a big year coming up, and that's what these three songs... See, it's interesting. The universe knows what's on your mind and what's troubling you or exciting you or making you feel good or bad. And I think in these particular three songs, this particular reading, the universe is saying that you are worrying about nothing and that this is going to be a prime year in your life. This is going to be a good year and you should embrace it and hug it and really take it into your bosom and understand that it's going to be a positive step forward. You're going to be the president of this group. You're just married. This time, you know, you're not going to screw it up like the first time.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's predicting the future and the past.
Right. Yes. Rather than worrying about it, you should jump with both feet into the future because I'm seeing it's going to be a very good year. I'm seeing orange and a beach. Are you going someplace where there are not
so
Florida.
I'm going to Hawaii in November, but
yeah,
besides
yeah,
that, no beaches that I know of. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's beaches in Hawaii for sure.
Oh, I'm right? Kidding. Yeah. Orange. So I recently had to retire the car that I had for 10 years that I loved, my Mini Cooper. I had an emotional attachment to that car. It was my baby.
I've heard, Dr. Dingman, I've heard that those cars are, ooh, baby driver. There you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Right.
You're good.
And was it an orange car?
It was orange. Yeah, this is my that was my orange baby.
Come on.
I'm not kidding you. Orange.
Yeah. Okay. So I dropped the mic for me, Patty. I saw
Michael, do we have a sound effect for that? I don't know if I have a sound effect for dropping the mic. And by the time I find when I feel like
you are good.
I just dropped the microphone in the bathtub.
Right.
Who drives an orange car?
I know, right? That's part of why I liked it, because it stood out, you know? I mean, everybody knew it was me when I was coming down the road. There she is. It's not like you have to wait till
you'll never lose it in a parking lot. Right?
No, it's a small car. That was the only drawback. But yeah, you don't mistake it for
failure. Left engine oil pressure.
Oh, it was so sad to part with that car. I loved it. It was part of me.
Well, I think all this joy you should really take into your heart, because this is going to be a fantastic year for you. As I've just said, I'm seeing the trip. You said you're going to Hawaii. I saw orange. You just got rid of that car. You are shaped like a snake. Every so often, a snake shakes off their old skin and grows new skin. Of course, they're leaving a whole snake-shaped skin in the woods or on the deserts to scare people when it's not even a real snake, but that's not your concern. You are moving into a new year, and it's going to be a spectacular year for you, and that's what the universe is saying, is don't fret, don't worry about your advancing age. This is going to be a prime year for you, and just enjoy it.
I love this reading.
Bless you, Dr. Dingman.
What a great birthday present.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, that was fabulous.
I think for something good, we
should... We're all going to chip in, and we're going to get you a big booty girl for your birthday.
More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. Tell me something good is going to be another reading for one of our guests in studio. More in just a moment with Dr. Dingman. Go to iTunespsychic.com to listen to some of his podcasts. Find out where he'll be appearing. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. I'll tell you my something good. We have Dr. Lars Dingman on the line with us, joining us in studio. We have Todd Belcour, the Executive Director of Social Change. And the International Film Festival Change Fest is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Harold Washington Cultural Center at 47th and King Drive. And where do people get tickets?
ChicagoSocialChange.org. But if you mention Patty's name via any of our social media sites I'm just nervous about this reading that's coming up here. At Shy Social Change, and then you can go ahead and get some free tickets.
Excellent. And if you go to the Revival's website, which is in Hyde Park, mm-hmm. and the website is therevival.com.
Yeah, you can go to laslocascomedy.com.
Laslocascomedy.com. Janice Rodriguez and Soli Santos are performing this Saturday night at 9:30. So go to the International Film Festival for Change Fest, and then go to their performance at Las Locas at the Revival in Hyde Park. Wayne Baker Brooks, celebrating 20 years with his band, will be at the Space in Evanston. Go to spaceinevanston.com, Michael. Is that what you told me? Evanstonspace.com? Which one? Evanstonspace.com. And that's Wayne Baker Brooks celebrating 20 years. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much.
And Dr. Kathy Tynes, whose husband was like, I don't believe that for a second. You know what? Dr. Dingman's readings are really extraordinary.
Scientifically proven.
We've discussed it already. And so we have Soli Santos, who is going to have her reading done by Dr. Dingman. Dr. Dingman, Soli Santos, Dr. Dingman.
Hello. Okay. What are the last three songs you randomly heard, Silly?
Randomly.
Silly.
Well, the reason random is important is it allows the universe to communicate with you through the vibrational lens of song titles. If you pick the songs, then the universe is not talking to you. You're just listening to tunes that make your book. That's the difference.
And you'll get a mutated reading, by the way. It's like when you wake up from a dream, you try going back to sleep, and then it's like a mutated version of what you originally had. You try to recreate the dream. That's what will happen.
Right.
So good luck with that. Go ahead, Soli.
But everyone else did it.
What are your three songs?
I'm going to second that. Let's say Mi Gente by Jay Blavin. Solange, Ride, and Pharrell, Freedom.
Oh.
So Ride, Freedom, and what was the first one?
Mi Gente.
Mi Gente.
Which means what in English?
My people.
My people,
yes.
Freedom, and Ride.
Wow.
Okay. my people, freedom, and ride. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind, I'm seeing Martin Luther King on the bridge in Selma. I'm seeing a movement. I'm seeing, are you an activist of some sort?
No.
Are you involved currently in a difficult project that's going to be an uphill battle?
If you're not counting my life.
Is that you feel your life is an uphill battle? That's valid. Have you just begun I'm seeing what happens. Let me explain how this works. I get the song titles, and then I see movies and images in my head. And what I'm seeing right now is one of those childhood maps of the United States with all the states that are a different color. And, you know, the dotted line that shows your trip, where you're going to go from place to place to place. And I'm seeing you at the very beginning of a long, circuitous trip. I'm sensing that you're beginning some sort of project that you feel is like walking straight up Mount Everest. Does that make any sense to you?
Nothing specific. I mean, I feel like there's always challenges in life, but not a specific project.
So you're not starting anything new. Are you are single, or you are in a relationship right now?
I'm in a relationship.
Okay. And is the relationship, has it been challenging recently?
No, I like him a lot.
That's the question.
This is what happened.
Liking him and having it be challenging are not necessarily.
Those are not mutually exclusive.
Yes. This is correct. No, it's okay.
I like how tight your throat sounds.
No. No. No.